I am going to start off with a confession. I have never read the Bible all the way through until this year. Lord willing, I will finish. I have tried many times with many different tools to help me, but I usually got bogged down in life's activities and in the minutiae of Leviticus. And I had justified to myself that reading the Bible completely through wasn't a requirement to enter heaven. And I could learn about Jesus and God and the Christian life without reading all those old laws and reading about all those battles that happened so long ago. And I still believe that to be true, but for those of you that like the Reader's Digest version of things. But I wanted to try again. And it seemed a lofty goal, and it was something I thought, if I could just discipline myself, I can make this goal. So every year, I try to do something a little bit different with my quiet time. Usually in December, I'm thinking about what am I going to start in January? And maybe I'll visit Mardell, or I'll talk to somebody, you know, what have you been doing? And I just like to try new things to keep myself motivated. Sometimes I do creative things. Sometimes I'll do something several years in a row. But this year, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do. And right around the 1st of January, Andrea Rieger put out an invitation on Facebook to join her in reading the Bible daily and listening to a podcast called The Bible Recap. I think 57 of us joined the newly formed group that week. We were excited and motivated. Andrea, along with Tiffany Gulledge, formed this private Facebook group that we would encourage each other and keep each other motivated and comment on the day's readings about what we were learning. So about 20 minutes of each morning this year I have spent reading and then listening to this short podcast commentary. There are two things that I love about this. One of them is, at the end of the podcast, the host always asks, "What was your God shot today?" Meaning, what did you learn about God from this passage? The first few days, I had nothing. How many times have I read Genesis 1 through 3? All I had was things I'd been taught, honestly. So then the speaker, the host of the podcast, has this profound thing to share. And I'm just like, wow. And to be fair, she's got like a whole team of people helping her write this commentary. But anyway, that's kind of how I was. I just would listen and be amazed at what she would pull out of this. And then the other thing I always love about this podcast is she ends with the other phrase, "He's where the joy is." She somehow works that into a sentence at the very end. So the repetition of those two things every single day have been really shaping how I view Bible study. On day 40, which is a biblical number, right? This is about mid-February. On day 40, I realized that for much of my life, or at least much of my adult life, I have been looking at Bible study and Bible reading and just thinking about self-application. Me. How does this apply to me? How does this affect my life? It only took me 40 days to wake up and think about God. How does God reveal himself through this story? What does it tell me about God? Don't get me wrong, it's good to think about your life, what you need to change maybe. It's the Bible is for teaching, rebuking, correcting, yes. But for me, the self-application thing, I think I had been doing way too long. So this practice this year, the reading and the Bible recap podcast, asking me what was my God shot today, has been helping me change my perspective. That's why I titled my lesson, God is Greater Than Me. It's not because I thought a whole lot about myself, but more the fact that I am trying to focus more on God and His greatness and His attributes. I will add that I've probably never been so excited about reading the Bible. I can't wait for the next day. And Connie and Pinnock is doing this as well. I mean, we talked about it recently, how exciting it is to get this new perspective. And I guard my morning time and rarely let anything stop me from reading and listening first thing in the morning. So tonight, I'd like to look at a few attributes of God and share some of my experiences that have caused me to appreciate God's attributes more. So what is an attribute? An attribute is a quality, character, or characteristic ascribed to someone or something. You may have heard of the omni words, omniscient, which means all-knowing, omnipresent, means God is everywhere, omnipotent, God is all-powerful. Lots of describing words you might use to describe God are attributes. Some people make it even broader. Names of God are His attributes. Action words could be attributes of God. We see many of God's attributes plainly in Scripture, like in Deuteronomy 33, God is eternal. 1 John 4, God is love, and Exodus 34, God is jealous. Romans 1:20 speaks to the fact that we can see God's qualities through His creation. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. So I'm a former kindergarten teacher, and I love the ABCs. So we are going to do a little exercise on the board, and you guys are going to have to wake up and get your brains turning here. We are going to do the ABCs of the attributes of God. Maybe you've done this before, maybe you haven't. I'm going to write A up there, and you guys, first one who shouts it out, think of an attribute of God, and we're going to go through the alphabet. And we're going to go pretty quickly, so don't give me any long sentences. So, all right. Basically think God is, can you see that?
No.
Oh, boy. Let me try blue. Better? Okay. Okay. So God is, who's got one?
Awesome.
There you go. B. Beautiful. How's that? Beautiful. C. Creative. I heard courageous too. That's a good one. D.
Demonstrative.
Good. Demonstrative. That's a long one. E.
Everlasting.
Love it. F.
Faithful,
yes. G, goodness. H. Holy. Yeah. I.
Indivisible.
There you go. J.
Just.
Thank you for the short one. K.
Kind.
Good. L.
Loving.
M.
Mighty.
Mighty. Yeah. N.
Near.
Oh, I love that. O. There you go. Give me an omni word. Omnipotent. P.
Provider.
I heard that. I heard several there. Anybody got a Q? Okay, I'm going with quiet. He is quiet sometimes, yeah. R.
Righteous.
I'm probably moving around too much for that microphone. Okay, S.
Sustainer.
Love that. T.
Truth.
You.
Okay.
V. Yeah. Thank the Lord. W. X, we can cheat a little, and if you want to put an E in front of the X.
Extraordinary.
Extraordinary. All right. Y.
Yahweh.
That's a good one. A name. His name. And how about Z? Let's all say it together. Zealous. It's like the only one for Z. There could be another one out there, but. All right. Thank you so much for participating. It's kind of a fun thing to do when you challenge yourself to do some little things like that. That's what I mean when I say I've done some little creative things sometimes in my quiet time. But anyway, I hope that kind of got your wheels turning, thinking more about God. We could make a much longer list, I know. But anyway, attributes of God are so cool. All right, well, tonight I'm going to talk about three attributes of God. And I want to talk about how God sees and knows all, which is omniscient. God is truth, and how God is unchanging. So the first one, God sees and knows all things. This is one of those things that we say we can't wrap our minds around. And the fact that God sees everything and knows everything is both amazing and humbling. He has knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that surpasses human understanding. He truly knows it all, and he doesn't need to learn a thing. He never sleeps, so he doesn't miss anything. He never gets distracted. He is not limited in his thinking. How many of you pray when you're in an airplane? Most of us. Me too, every takeoff for sure, and sometimes the landings. So recently, you know, I'm in an airplane, and I started thinking about God, and I always usually get the window seat if I can, because I'm one of those people, I love to look out the window and look at the clouds, or try to decipher what that is down there. So as we were lowering over the city of Chicago, I saw all the tiny little cars on the highway. And then I wondered what all those little boxes were. And I realized, I think those are apartments. And there were so many of them. And I started thinking about God and how God knows every driver in every car. And he knows every person in all those little boxes. And not only does he know every person, he knows their thoughts. And did you know we have an estimated 10,000 thoughts a day? And you guys know that math isn't my strong suit, but 10,000 times the population of the earth. That is a lot of stuff. God sees and knows all of that at the same time, and he can still zero in on you. It's like I said, it's one of those kind of mind-blowing things. I think David said it best in the Psalms, Psalm 139, 1 through 6. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. I thought about a time in the Bible when God illustrated that he can see and know all, and I thought about Hagar, the Egyptian maid. Hagar was the servant of Abraham and Sarah. Sarah was told she would conceive a child, but you know the story, it didn't happen quickly. And so she took matters into her own hands and had Hagar marry and sleep with Abraham. Shortly after that, the two women began having trouble in their relationship. Can you imagine? Anyway, Hagar then ran away in the desert, having been abused by a jealous Sarah. She was pregnant and abused and all alone in the desert, probably wondering and questioning. And God saw her, and God came to her. He chose to visit her. He called her by name, and he told her to return to Sarah and submit to her, and gave her some news regarding her son. She called him Elroy, the God who sees me. Even though the promise was not going to be fulfilled through Hagar and Ishmael, God still cared about her. He saw her and took care of her. I am so thankful for a God who sees and knows everything that is going on in our world and in our individual lives too. Another attribute I'd like to look at tonight is God's truth. To say that God is truth is to acknowledge that truth itself proceeds from the very nature of God. While many things can have the truth, the only one thing can be the truth, with that one thing being God himself. God is proven throughout the Bible to be truthful, reliable, and respectable. Paul tells us in Titus 1 that God cannot lie. Throughout the history of God's people, he delivers them and disciplines them. When he promises something, it happens. We can rely on what he has revealed to us. God's truth stands today, and his word has stood the test of time. It hasn't been lost, hasn't been deleted, and it's certainly not irrelevant. How many of you have marveled as you read the Bible and you see that the passage applies perfectly to the situation we're in today? I'm not sure I can remember a time in my life where truth has been questioned more. Truth in our world is something we seem to have a shortage of. We are caused to wonder about the truth from our government, the media, and even our doctors. We're not sure which way to turn or think on a subject. This quote from Sharon Miller says it all. Nothing weakens the tremendous power of the word truth like putting the word your in front of it. Everyone seems to have a different slant on what's happening in our world. So what are we to do? What do we base our decisions on? It's a troubling time, but we can rely on God's truth. There is no question about that. He will never let us down. Earlier this year, I had an experience that had me really questioning the truth. And my mom's here tonight. She can relate to this. I haven't been in a courtroom too many times. I've not even been called for jury duty ever. But earlier this year, I was sitting in a courtroom for 3.5 hours to support my sister. She was there to hear the blind plea and punishment of a person who caused an accident that changed her life 6.5 years ago. We thought this was going to be a quick in-and-out courtroom visit, but it was 3.5 hours long. Only 30 minutes of it was in regards to my sister, who lost her husband in the accident. I listened as she described the terrible events of the three-car accident and the lasting impact it has had on her life and her daughter's lives even today. The details of the intersection and visibility were discussed again. The remaining time was dedicated to the friends and family of the defendant, describing what a wonderful Christian wife, mother, and friend she was, and asking for mercy on her behalf. Finally, the tearful pleas of forgiveness from the defendant was surreal, like watching a TV drama. It was very difficult, sad, and I can't adequately describe how I felt listening to all of that. I knew it wasn't intentional, it was an accident. But what was the real truth? People swear to tell the truth in a court of law. What really happened that day? Was she texting or merely looking at her phone? How far over the line did her car go? Did visibility play into the accident? Was the judge getting the whole truth from everyone? It took several days for me to process all that was said that day. My heart was torn up for my sister, but also softened toward the defendant, and I prayed for both families involved. But the truth is God is the only one who knows the truth. He knows and cares for each of his children and all that they go through. I'm glad he is the truth and the righteous judge. Psalm 33, 4 and 5 says, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love." Luke 4 tells about the temptation of Jesus. Jesus' temptation by Satan in the desert is quite a fascinating story. Satan was very crafty, trying to get Jesus to disobey God and his purpose. You know how Jesus responded to each of the devil's temptations? With the truth of God. He quoted the word every time, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Thou shalt worship the Lord your God and him only, and do not test the Lord your God." What would our lives look like if we knew the word of God so well that scripture popped into our minds each time we were tempted? God's truth is powerful. Now, the last attribute I want to talk about is unchanging. God is unchanging. That means that everything we know about God, his love, his goodness, his faithfulness, his promises, his righteousness, all of it remains the same now as it was in the past and will be in the future. God is the same God today as when he created the earth. Since the beginning of time, we see that he is good. His plan remains steady. His promises firm. We can trace through the scriptures that he is trustworthy. He is the unchanging reference point in our ever-changing world. Malachi 3:6 says, "I, the Lord, do not change." Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." James 1:17 describes God as the Father of the heavenly lights who does not change like shifting shadows. The fact that God does not change is probably my favorite thing about God, because I love routine and structure. I like predictability and find comfort in the familiar. Things like daylight savings time, road construction, and ever-changing technology really irritate me. And then, of course, along came COVID. It's difficult to adapt to an ever-changing world. I used to get angry and upset about change, and my dear husband always said the same thing. "Robin, you know what the only thing that's constant in life is? Change." Eventually, I accepted that it was true, but God does not change. Praise the Lord! That's how I feel about it. He's the same as he's always been. It is well known that one of the most important needs for women is the need for security. Security in this world is short-lived, so look to God for your security. He is the one you can count on, the one who does not change. He is the steady rock that will not move. Psalm 18:1 through 3. "I love you, Lord, you are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety." I couldn't think of a recent big change in our family, so I went back 13 years. And 13 years ago, I was very concerned about a big change coming up. My daughter, my oldest child, was graduating from high school. And you know, when it's your first, it's a bigger transition, I think. You think a lot more about it. I was very excited for her. In fact, I don't think I'd even shed a tear when August came and it was time for her to go away to college. I vividly remember the very last Sunday she was here with us. We were sitting in church singing, and I paused to hear her sweet singing voice along with her two younger brothers. It hit me hard. this was the last time it would ever be this way. From now on, it will be hit or miss when she might be on the same pew with us in worship. After church was over, I hurried out the back, and I remember bumping into Gladys Burcham. If you remember Gladys, you know that she always told it like it is. I guess I had a look on my face, or maybe even a few tears in my eyes. And when she asked me what was wrong, I said, "This is the last Sunday Deanne will ever be here with us. She'll be at college next week. Things will never be the same." Gladys's words were honest but comforting. She said, "You're right." That's what she said. She said, "You're right. Things will never be the same, but it will be okay." And it has been okay. Better than okay. Both my boys have moved on too. I have grown a lot more in my dependence on the God who does not change since then. And I'm happy to say that I have adapted to my empty nest. Those pictures are 10 years apart. I think there you can kind of see the dates. I just wanted to mention a book that helped me during this time of transition, The Land Between. If you are experiencing some kind of transition in your life, it might be helpful to you. One of my favorite songs is "Hold to God's Unchanging Hand" by Jenny Wilson. It's an oldie but a goodie. I love hearing the stories behind the hymns we sing, and Jenny definitely had a strong faith. Just a little bit about Jenny. Jenny Wilson was born on a farm in Cleveland, Indiana in 1856. She survived typhoid fever as a little girl, but her spine was damaged by the bacterial infection. She used a wheelchair from childhood, and she was educated at home. As a child, she lived through the difficulties of the Civil War between the North and South. She was baptized as a young woman. Someone carried her from her wheelchair down into the river, and she started writing lots of poems and songs. She actually wrote thousands and published hundreds of Christian hymns, and was known as the Fanny Crosby of the West. Her hymn, "Hold to God's Unchanging Hand," written in 1905, was especially popular in the early 20th century. I just wanted to read a couple of verses from that song. "Time is filled with swift transition, not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal, hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you, whatsoever years may bring. If by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Hold to God's unchanging hand, hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal, hold to God's unchanging hand." Well, I have just skimmed the surface of a few of the attributes of God, but I hope you got a God shot tonight. Maybe you learned a little something more about God in a scripture or one of the Bible stories I mentioned. Maybe you found comfort in God's truth, the opposite of what the world gives. Or we're reminded about the unchanging God that will never let you down. I hope you've been encouraged to continue seeking ways to draw close to Him. Thinking more about God and less helps us think less of ourselves and reinforces our faith in Him. And I just wanted to give a little commercial for Memorial Roads Women's Ministry here at the end. We offer Bible studies almost every quarter. We have small group Bible studies for you to learn more. We have CWBS, that's a long-term study that follows the school year, another great option. And then if you look at the bottom of your sheet, there are some resources to explore. We have a women's ministry library right down the hall here with the books are on the in the entryway of the teacher's resource room, and it's a self-check system there. The rest of these that I've included at the bottom are things for individual study and things you might want to check out online. The Well, and then Josh Kincaid has a podcast. Don't know if you knew that. It's fairly new. It's called Reading the Bible Responsibly. It's very good. And then I put some other things that we have used. I know in our Bible class, you might have heard of the Bible Project. Bema Discipleship is something that I know many people here have really enjoyed that podcast. That is the group we are going on the Israel trip with. And then the Bible Recap, the first thing that I talked about, if you're interested in that.